Well, you preaching today. I'm ready for you too. He burnt them folks up over there.
It got real quiet.
You could have dropped a piece of paper and hurt him. I told Pastor Keith, I would talk to him. I said, man, you go ahead, you're going to get yourself killed up in here. Tell the folks about themselves, about the old man. Don't nobody want to hear about the old man. Amen. But I want you to put your hands together and welcome this young man. Chalmers Keys.
Amen.
A third. Come on, give the Lord some more praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. We're going to be looking at the subject of transition. Transition. Help me worship the Lord just a little bit. Your only son, no sin to hide, but you have saved him from your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Traditional.
That's what I'm glad about this church. Why do you say that? Because a lot of times, you know, Christmas and Easter or Resurrection Day, they call it Easter, we call it Resurrection Day. You get a lot of people that come into church that usually don't come in. And if you preach a traditional message, they don't come out with anything new. They don't come out with any lie. Yeah. Because everybody around Christmas time know that Jesus was born.
Come on now.
Everybody around Easter time or resurrection time know that Jesus died. In fact, Jesus knows these things. So Jesus wants to say something else when he gets somebody in his attention, in his presence that he hasn't gotten. Before he wants to say something that might catch somebody's attention so that they might want to come back and hear more about this Jesus Christ. Come on and give God some praise. So we're going to start in the book of Joshua. We're talking about transition. Now, 9 years ago, we experienced transition in this ministry. Okay? And God has placed within us the man that he wants in the spot as senior pastor, and that's our current senior pastor, Dennis Lee Gardner.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And a lot of folks, and I'm going to just say it, a lot of folks wasn't happy because things didn't go on the way they thought they should have gone. So they decided to hit the bricks. Well, he should have done it this way, and he should have done it that way. And a lot of folks thought that what was going to happen was you was going to get a mixture of what Pastor Hart did and what Pastor Gardner's going to do, and we're going to roll from there. That's the way it should be done. Yeah. Well, you're going to find out God don't work that way.
Right.
Because God has an end purpose, and God will use a man or a group of men to get the body of Christ where he wanted to. Right. So it's not going to be the same. Right. Last Sunday I was talking about the fact that they had broken the covenant. They had broken things. When something is broken, God does not fix it. God gets rid of it because it's ruined. And God picks out something completely new. And that's what God is doing in this place.
Come on
and give God some praise. Now we're going to start in Joshua, first verse. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now this came to pass after Moses' death in the 11th year of the 40th year of their wandering. Now we know Moses was a servant of the Lord. He brought forth God brought forth the law through him. God spake through him. And now Moses is dead. Now he's speaking unto Joshua, who represents a type of Christ. When you look at the word Joshua and the word Jesus, the word is actually Joshua.
Yeah.
A type of Christ. Now, Joshua was a servant unto Moses. And now he's encouraging Joshua to get ready to do this thing. He says, now, second verse again, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you according as I said unto Moses. In other words, the word that I gave unto Moses, I'm giving it unto you.
Amen.
And you shall carry it forth. The word that God gave unto Pastor Hart, he has given unto Pastor Gardner,
yes,
so that we go forth. Now, we don't have a literal land like they did to carry out. But we have a territory assigned by God that we are supposed to occupy.
Come on now.
And you have to occupy it by the instruction of God. Now God has given in the fourth verse, the boundaries. He said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast or your border. Now that land of the Hittites talks about being broken in pieces. Okay? And for a while there, this ministry didn't look like it was going to make it. It was broken in pieces. But God has given us that and he has repaired it so that we can go forward. Now, fifth verse, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God will not fail us or forsake us. No one shall be able to stand in front of the ministry. When God gives you an appointment and God gives you an assignment, if you go according to the word of God, if you go according to the instructions of God, no one, no circumstance, no situation is going to be able to, to deter you, cause you to go around. God is going to take you through and over. Why? Because it's the commandment of God. And God is giving you instruction, telling you that you're going to be able to, no man's going to be able to stand before you. As he was with Moses, he's going to be with you. He's the same God.
Amen.
God does not discriminate.
Come on now.
Now, man discriminates. Okay? But God does not.
Amen.
He said he won't forsake us. Now, he says, sixth verse, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now he has given Pastor a mandate on what he's supposed to do. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Okay? Because once again, the ministries have changed. Therefore, there's going to be some changes come with it. Why? Because it's ordered of God.
Right.
Seventh verse, he's repeating himself. Only be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do, take heed to do according to all the law for us, all the instructions which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left that thou mayest prosper. Now that means to deal wisely. God wants us to deal wisely. Okay? And that not only talks about the ministry, but outside the ministry. In other words, to help build this building and keep it running, he has to be able to deal wisely. Okay? Don't have a lot of finances, so God said, I will cause you to buy without money because you're able to deal wisely. Why? Because you are standing strong and very courageous in the word of God that God has commanded you to do. Come on, give God some praise. Eighth verse, this book of the law, now there were five books, but God considered them one, okay, because now we're talking about Moses here. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. In other words, you can't leave anything out.
Amen.
Thou shalt meditate upon it. Talk to thyself about the word day and night that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For in it thou shalt make thy way prosperous. That's talking about physically and mentally. God will preserve you physically and mentally. Make thy way prosperous. In other words, to make you to break out, to push forward in all your ways. And thou shalt have good success. Good success talks about to be intelligent. The word of God will cause you to behave yourself. The word of God will give you wisdom in the given situation so that you can have success according to the word of God. Once again, ninth verse here. He says, have I not commanded? In other words, God wants to make sure that you're hearing him. That's why he's repeating it. Have I not commanded thee, be of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He's letting them know, be alert, be strong, be alert, be steadfast minded, be established in courage, be established in the word. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Don't be dismayed. Talks about being confused. Don't get confused.
Right.
Allow God to lead you. Why? Because he's called you into this position. Therefore, if you follow it, he will lead you. You will not be confused. You will not be broke down. You will not be terrified.
Yeah.
For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Come on and give God some praise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we're going to jump a little bit. Go to Joshua, the 23rd chapter. And the 6th verse. The first 9 verses we read, God was talking to his chosen individuals, chosen men. This verse, he's talking to the people. It says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefore to the right hand or to the left. The Apostle Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, that means that you have to have a working knowledge of this Bible so that you understand the instructions that coming from, and we're going to use the senior pastor here, from the senior pastor, so that you can follow along. Because see, what happens is, like I said, in the transition, a lot of folks get dissatisfied. A lot of folks get dissatisfied. Go to the book of Exodus. Like I said, we're going to jump a little bit. Exodus, the 12th chapter. And folks get a little bit dissatisfied. Once again, talking about why this don't do it this way and so-and-so did it that way. Exodus 12 and 38. Now, when the children of Israel, when God delivered them out of Egypt, some folks followed them.
Yeah.
Some folks followed them. We're going to read about it. 12 and 38. It says, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Go to Numbers. I'm going to jump. 11. Numbers 11 and 4. We just read, while y'all turn up and explain, just this mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with the Israelites. Who were they? They were Egyptians.
Yeah.
Numbers 11 and 4. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
It says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. Another translation for the mixed multitude is camp followers. A lot of folks following the camp.
Yeah.
Not a part of stuff, but got their mouth open on it, talking about it. Come on, they don't like this. Now here, let's continue to read on. And the mixed multitude or the camp followers that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? Come on, remember how we used to do it in the past.
Right.
My Lord, my Lord.
We did it this way. And I'ma just be specific, because that's what I do. A lot of folks upset because pastor don't anoint for the flu like Pastor Heartbeat. We're going to get into that why in a minute. But let me tell you what happens. Let's continue to read here. I'm going to read that fourth verse again. We're going to read on. And the mixed multitude that was among them, the camp followers, fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept. Why? Because they were influenced by these people and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely, in other words, with no cost. No cost to them. In other words, be a part of the ministry, but don't have no cost to it. In other words, just be floating along freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all but this manna before our eyes. In other words, God has given them the word, but they want something else.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
They want something else. And what they'll do is they'll make you dissatisfied with things that are going on.
Right. Yeah.
Pastor McTeer, she was preaching last Sunday, and she asked a question. Do people come to see the man, or do they come to see God?
Right.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And a lot of times in the previous ministry, we had a whole lot of people come through here, and folks was breaking their neck to see them. Folks getting called out. Now, nothing wrong with prophecy. But God is telling you about the manna here that God is giving you your daily bread, which you're supposed to eat.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
Amen.
And folks running over, used to run each other over. For example, the man and woman of God, and I'm going to just use the two pastors up here. I'm pointing at Pastor Martina and Pastor Arnese thing. I'm pointing at her. Running up here. Why? Because their mind is fixed on the man and not the word of God that went before to give you the instructions that you had need of.
Amen.
Come on and give God some praise. That's why he said, be ye therefore very courageous. In other words, he wants you to be obstinate and be stout in the word.
Amen.
To behave yourself, to be valiant in the word, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law, that you turn not from the aside from it, from the right hand or to the left. Now, let's go to Joshua, back to Joshua, the third chapter. Now, I want to show you something about how God works when he picks someone. Joshua, the third chapter. Now, under the ministry of Moses, when Moses obeyed, we're studying the tabernacle and the assembly of it in the Bible study. When they got through with everything, God sent a cloud of glory down upon it so that it was so thick it pushed Moses out. This same glory cloud protected the children of Israel during their journeys under the ministry of Moses. Now, historians estimate that the cloud was 26 miles square because it covered all of the children of Israel that came out.
Amen, amen.
And it protected them. It kept them warm. Why? Because they were traveling through the wilderness. The wilderness is hot and it's dry. And it gets cold at night. It was a fiery cloud. That cloud kept them warm at night. The power of God, you can see the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was in that cloud.
Amen, right. Amen, amen,
and it
amen,
followed
amen.
Them throughout all of their journey.
My Lord.
Now, when Moses died, the cloud was taken up. The only time you saw the cloud was when the high priest went into the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, when God called him in by appointment, and the cloud appeared between the two cherubim on the ark. Under the ministry of Joshua, here's the instruction. We'll just read the whole, we'll read, start 3:1. We'll start there. Joshua 3:1. And Joshua rose early in the morning and removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. That was because of the instruction of God. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it or carrying it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way before. Right. We have not passed this way before in this ministry right. where God is trying to take. In that ministry there, to talk about the 2,000 cubits, there was a mile and a half distance between the priests who were carrying the ark and the body of believers. They didn't move under the cloud anymore. They moved by seeing, following those individuals who were lined up, followed them as they followed the ark or as they followed Christ. Why? Because the trend of God made a transition change. So you can't expect God to move the same way that he did under another man's ministry. Why? Because it's a new beginning. It's a new walk. It's a new instruction. And that's why he's telling us to be very courageous to observe and do all that God has taught. Now, from personal experience, okay, because we're close to the pastor. When it began to change, you know, I had thoughts. I had thoughts on things on how it would go. Okay, and but the thing was, I didn't tell him about it. Right. In other words, I didn't influence him or vex him by going to him with my thoughts and my ideas. Right. Right. I allowed God, I just prayed for him because I said, well, let me just be quiet.
Amen.
That's what you got to do. When you don't know the way, you got to be quiet until you hear from God.
Amen.
God will show you why, because he wants you to know the same way, and without a vision, the people will perish. He wants you to be able to form up on the leader, and if you wait for God, if you wait for his instruction, God will show you. So what I did was I began to get quiet, and I began to watch. I'm like, oh, God's not moving that way anymore.
My Lord.
You begin to show me. He's not moving that way anymore. Let me find out what way he is moving. We got to find out which way he is moving so that we don't fall into that trap of murmuring and complaining. Because when you murmur and complain against God, for the Old Testament, thank God we're not back there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God was killing folks.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We have the grace of God. But let me tell you something. You still have to keep your mouth off of the prophet. What that means is God spoke person. I'm not talking about somebody who may have a gift. That's what prophet means in the Old Testament. It means spokesman or spokeswoman. So you keep your hand or your mouth or your murmuring off the man of God. And you lead and you go with him.
Amen.
Why? Because God has picked him out. God has called him. We see, and see, the thing is, God is going to show the evidence of whether he picks an individual or not. When you see God moving, when you see the power moving, when you see the manifestation moving, then you know that this is what's going on. This, and see, it ain't about liking.
Man.
It ain't about who I like or what I like. God is not interested in who I like or what I like. God is interested in his instruction. He don't care about it.
Amen.
God only cares about the word.
Amen.
I was looking at a story once, and this guy was getting treated, and this doctor was trying to talk to him about stuff, and he said, I'm not interested. Start the treatment. He said, today we're going to have another treatment and it will be successful. God is telling us his word is the treatment, and today we're going to have a treatment and it will be successful.
Amen.
Well, Lord, this and that, I'm not interested. Start the treatment. We have to start the treatment of God's word so that we can be successful.
Amen.
Come on and give God some praise.
Amen.
Now, we're going to go somewhere else. Go to 2 Chronicles 20 and 20.
Oh, my God.
Like I said, we're not traditioned, and let me tell you, we have to walk according to the word of God, not according to our feelings or what we think God is not interested in. God declared the end from the beginning.
Come on now.
He declared this man to be in this position from the beginning. He declared where you were supposed to be in your position in the body from the beginning. So it's not an accident. Whatever you do for God, he declared it from the beginning.
Amen.
Now, we're going to read the 20th verse. And I'll explain something a little bit here. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Now, if you read the 20th chapter, you know that the children of Israel was getting ganged up on. The Ammonites and a whole bunch of folks got together and tried to overthrow them. So King Jehoshaphat went to see the prophet. Okay? Now, he knew God, and God knew him, but they went to the prophet. You went, in those days, you went to see the man of God.
Man.
Okay? But now, once again, this is old covenant. And people will get up and quote this. Why? Because they want, they want you to believe in the Lord your God to be established. You believe in God's word to be confirmed and be strengthened. But they want you to believe in them. Why do you say it that way? Because, see, a lot of these folks, they bypass the instruction when it comes from Rome, from Romans through Thessalonians, when it talks about this old nature that happens to be in us. So you disregard that. You disregard it. So you get to feeling proud. You get to feeling like you all of that. And so you want people to come see you. So just like Pastor Anise was saying, do you come to see the man or do you come to see God? Because a lot of these folks want you to come to see them. Yeah, now they'll give God, but they want you to come and see them. Why? Because they want you to pay that visa bill and help them stay on TV instead of depending on the Lord your God. What that does is that causes you to run and see them. It don't cause you to be established in the word of God. You got to constantly come and see a man. Let me tell you something.
Come on now.
Let me tell you something. This we're going to just use this here. This is a sickness. This is a sickness. So brother so-and-so is in town and he prays for this sickness. The next week, sister so-and-so in town. This same sickness, they call it out. The same individual gets up for the same sickness that they just got prayed for last week. Brother so-and-so comes to town. Talk about the sickness. They call it out. That same individual will get up, been prayed for 3 weeks running over the same sickness. Why? Because they're established not in the word, but in the individual. Who you come to see? Did you come to see God or did you come to see the man?
All right.
Now, I just said something to you about new covenant. Somebody was up preaching that, and I heard the Lord say, the prophet is in you. When Jesus came into your life, he was king, he was priest, and he was prophet. So I don't have to run to a man when I get in trouble. I can call on the one that's sitting on the throne on the inside and get the answer I need. Now, when I come to the house of the Lord, if the individual is up, then they will confirm what's already in me by the word that I've already put in my heart so that I come to see Jesus. Jesus, and you will be established. God will cause you to break out. God will cause you to be profitable. God will cause you to be useful. God will cause you to be a blessing to somebody else. So they ain't got to come and run up in the house. They know Jesus from the person on the street. That's why we all have a ministry. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Come on and give y'all some more prayer.
Yeah.
First Corinthians 10:1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant or not know how all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea." Now we're going back to talk about Moses again and how God used him. Mm-hmm. All our fathers, although all the Jewish fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. And all were baptized unto or into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. When the Egyptians came upon them, the cloud came down and blocked them. It blocked them so that they could not even see the children of Israel as they crossed through the Red Sea that God had opened up. They were hid in God and baptized into Moses' ministry. That's what they're saying. And fourth verse, and they all eat the same spiritual meat. In other words, we all eat the word of God every day. That's what we're supposed to do. If you can't open your Bible, then sing songs about him. Give God praise. That's keeping your mind meditating upon the word of God. If you can't open your Bible, then allow God to lead you in the book. The instruction. Okay? Now, they all did eat the same spiritual meat, and they all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. Or it didn't follow them, but the miracles followed. First, it was the manna that came down, which is a type of the word.
Right.
You ate the word every day. They had instructions for it. They were to get enough for their family. They were not to save it overnight. If they tried to save it, it would go rotten on them. They were to gather twice as much on the Friday because Saturday was the Sabbath day, and they didn't go to church on Saturday. They stayed in their tent. That's what rest means. Rest means don't do nothing. So I ain't mentioning no name, but okay, there you go. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
They stayed in their tent. Once again, see, we have a problem. The Bible was written in Hebrew, Old Testament, Greek, New Testament. So you got to go back and translate what it's talking about. Because a lot of things, we think English covers everything from all time. Right. So when we think about worship, we think about going to service. They didn't go to service.
Right.
God was around. They were. God was in the midst of them in the tabernacle 24/7.
Come on, God. Tell it.
Man.
They had Moses and the priest to teach them every day. It's not like our time. We're under a different dispensation or a different manifestation now. They were under the law. We are under grace. Every day is the day of the Lord. Every day is the Sabbath day. Every day we keep God holy. That's what it's about. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor the Sabbath. We honor Jesus because he is our rest. We rest in him from our problems. Now the problems don't go away, but Jesus gives us the confidence to go through the problems. Come on and give God some more praise. So the rock, the manna came down first. Then the water came. Some accounts give it the water followed them through the wilderness. The power of God.
Man.
Woo, good God Almighty. The water followed them through the wilderness. And then when that was good, God would send the rain down.
My Lord.
Come on and give God some praise. So they all drank ate the same spiritual meat, all drank the same spiritual drink, and God brought the children of Israel out and led them through the wilderness by the hand of Moses, but he brought them into the land of promise and the land of promise and corporate fulfillment by the word of Joshua.
That's right. That's right.
Go back to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. We're not too far away from being done. Deuteronomy 6. And 23. When God takes you out of something, he always then expects you to go into something.
Right.
The scripture says he took us out of darkness and then into his marvelous light. He took them out of the wilderness and took them into the land of promise. Now, let's read that. Now, before I get too far ahead of myself. 6 and 23, and he says, and he brought us out from thence, talking about the land of Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Now, in this ministry, we had a great founder. His name was Ralph Elhart.
Amen.
Great man of God. And I remember one of the key statements about him. He said, God had breathed faith into his life, and he cannot doubt him.
Come on.
But sometimes what that meant was that Pastor Hart did all the lifting with that faith. And folks didn't just, they just came on in. In other words, he didn't have to exercise. Now, he had the gift of faith. In other words, he could believe in spite of your unbelief. That's how great the power of God was.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So what does that do? That caused us, a lot of folks, not to do nothing. In other words, every time something, you got to call a man. Once again, you got to call a man because you're not exercising anything. Right. You're not being very courageous. You're not being strong.
Amen.
Now, under this man's ministry, it talks about corporate operation. The same thing with Joshua. Joshua was a type of Christ talking about corporate ministry where everybody gets involved. Everybody has a ministry. And all the work, you don't have to do all the heavy lifting.
Amen.
That's what God wants. That's why it changes when another man or another individual takes the place. Why? Because God is trying to get us to where we all are. Go to Ephesians right quick.
Thank you.
Ephesians 4th chapter. Planning on going there, but we need to understand what God is talking about.
Amen. Tell it.
Ephesians 4 and 11. Everybody have a say amen.
Amen.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or a complete or a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we fill up the body.
Right.
We operate in the body according to the brain. Who is the brain? Jesus is the brain, and he gives instructions to all the members of the body so that we go. It's just like my human brain. When I want to go, I just start stepping. Okay? But if I'm still looking for a man, guess what? I'm going to be walking like that dude on TV, or that monster on TV. One leg dragging behind the monk, dog. Carlos, the mummy. Can't use his arm, can't use his leg. God don't want the body to operate that way.
Amen.
So once again, now when they went through, going back to Joshua, when they went through the Jordan means descender. They were immersed into Joshua's ministry, which also means to lower oneself. That's what pastor preaches. He talks about lowering yourself or humbling yourself or denying yourself
Amen.
So that we can accomplish what God wants. As we decrease, God increases.
Yes. Yes.
But see, we have to recognize something, because see, a lot of saints still recognize Lucifer. Lucifer is all their problems. Lucifer chasing them. Lucifer doing this. Lucifer can't do nothing but look at where he used to live. Meantime, you got this joker that you was born with. Yeah. He's causing havoc all over the planet.
Man.
And let me tell you something. He's the one that's omnipresent.
Right.
What do you mean? You carry him. You carry that old nature wherever you go. And even if you keep him under subjection, you might run into somebody else that don't have his under subjection. So you always got that.
Oh.
That's the fight that you have to overcome. Allow this man which was in Christ Jesus, the overcoming man, to be in you so that you can overcome self.
Come on, man.
Go to Philippians. We're almost two more verses and we're out of here. Two more verses. Philippians, fourth chapter. Philippians 4:11. Does everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
This is Apostle Paul speaking. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, or that I'm moved by my feelings or conditions, you know, because I'm not, don't have what I think I'm getting, like out of a ministry. Here he was talking about material things. But we think about ministry, we're not getting what we want out of the ministry. So we allow ourselves to express things that are not right. He said, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That means to be strong and self-sufficient.
Come on now, man.
That means I learned how to pray for myself.
Yeah.
That learns I heard to study for myself.
Yeah.
That learns I can learn how to communicate to God for myself so that I can be an active part in the ministry and not just be a camp follower just to come up and sit up on Sunday and occupy a pew and don't do nothing.
All right. Amen.
That's what that means.
Amen.
He says, I can do all things. 13, I can do all things in Christ. That's what that word through means. In Christ, which strengthens me. That means I am strong for all things in Christ, which strengthens me. In other words, he gives me the strength to do it. I don't have to rely on my own strength. So when I see something in the church that pastor may have done or changed and he hasn't communicated with me yet, maybe because he can't get the word out, because a lot of times when God tells you something, you may not be able to get it out, you just start doing it, okay? And as a person close to him, my job is not to interfere with him, my job is to aid him. So if I don't understand, I'll stand quiet until God begins to show me what he's talking about, then I can aid in. So in other words, I may not be doing nothing, but I'm not hindering. Go to Proverbs, and we're getting ready to close. Proverbs, third chapter. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, and we'll start with the fifth verse. Proverbs 3:5. Does everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Confide in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to thine own understanding, your own discernment, what you see about it. Because a lot of folks think because a certain thing ain't going on that God's not in it. And once again, God is trying to get us to the point where we all bear the image, that we all are one. We were predestinated to carry the image of God, nature, and the character of God. That's what our function is. My function is not to be necessarily a teacher or a prophet or an evangelist. My function is to carry the nature and character of God. Because let me tell you something. When you encounter folks, they're not going to know that you're a pastor or a prophet
Come
or an apostle. All they're going to know is that you go to church And if you got a word of encouragement for them, you can help influence them into the kingdom of God. It ain't about a title. It's about the word of God. It's about the instructions of obedience.
Yes.
Carrying out is about being a servant.
Yes. Yes.
Sixth verse. In all thy ways acknowledge him, or recognize that he is God, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I just thought it was just paths. Now, I looked at the scripture, it says paths. It means rightly divide. Dividing and thus showing what is right or pleasing to God. So that as we go with this in this transit ministry, because it's been going for 9 years, that we fill in the parts that we're supposed to play, that we aid each other, that we become a part of each other. We are baptized. We were baptized into Pastor Hart's ministry. Now we're baptized into the senior pastor's ministry, whether you know it or not.
Amen.
We're immersed in it. Yes. We're immersed in the word. Yes. The word is the water. So we've been covered by the word. We're immersed in it. So we have to go as God goes. And guess what? I'm confident of the God in the man. I'm not looking at the man. I'm looking at the God in the man. Yeah. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody stand. We're done.